Grace be unto you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our meditation here for this morning is recorded in the 9th chapter of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, beginning with the 9th verse. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he arose and followed him. And as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I come not to call the righteous, but sinners." These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us to your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. Both my parents grew up with pets, but my brother and I couldn't have any because we always lived in homes owned by congregations. Sad to say, my brother was so desperate for a pet that he once actually rented a neighbor's cat for a nickel. Since I didn't grow up with pets, I've been very reluctant to have them in my own home. However, my wife has been trying to convince me for years that she needs a cat. Church friends even got her a nice little refrigerator magnet which reads, "A home without pets or home without cats is just not a home." My brother Sam never lost his love for animals. Eventually, he got himself a little Pomeranian that he named Max after the German boxer Max Schmeling, who beat Joe Louis. One thing I can say about that little pooch is that he is remarkably faithful to my brother, who chose him as his own. In our text for today, we hear about the call of Matthew, a tax collector. Like the Canaanite woman who responded to Jesus in great faith to his seeming rebuke, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table," Matthew too was an outcast in society. And yet Jesus' merciful call to this outcast, this sinner, this dog, if you will, resulted in one of the most steadfast disciples of Jesus, the first gospel writer, and a dedicated missionary. With this in mind, let us consider this theme, a merciful call for sinners to follow Jesus. Now, if you think our American tax system is oppressive, it's got nothing on the Roman system. Rome refrained from collecting taxes directly. Instead, they auctioned up the right to collect taxes to local tax collectors. The contract was then awarded to the highest bidder. Once Rome had received the money that it demanded, tax collectors were then free to make a profit on the remainder. Naturally, this system was rife with abuse, for tax collectors would inflate the prices of taxable items in order to make an additional profit. As a result, tax collectors were often expelled from synagogues and were regarded to be the social pariah of their society. At this time, Israel was roughly the size of New Jersey. Much of Jesus' ministry was spent in the region known as Galilee, and its city Capernaum functioned as his base of operations. With this in mind, it would have been very hard for Matthew, who worked around Capernaum, to be oblivious to the rising fame of this young rabbi. This is especially the case because he preached mercy for public sinners like Matthew. In point of fact, when Jesus says to Matthew, "Follow me," he immediately drops everything, rose up, and followed him. What prompted a public sinner like Matthew to drop everything, a lucrative career, to follow Jesus? He recognized that Jesus was not a judgmental Pharisee, waxing eloquent about sacrifices to supposed saints, but a gracious Savior who preached mercy to the dregs of society, sinners like you and me. For Jesus says, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." You see, Matthew's nagging conscience, pricked by the law, showed him that even the smallest of his manifold transgressions would doom him to hell. This is why Matthew found Jesus' merciful call so compelling, for he alone could offer full and complete forgiveness for a social pariah like Matthew. After Jesus gave him a new justified identity, reality, and purpose for living, how couldn't he follow after Jesus? Yet does this merciful call still resonate with us? Or are we more like those self-righteous Pharisees that actually judge Jesus for having mercy to those public sinners? Does the pastor's word of absolution make our hearts burn for the love of his Spirit? Or are we sure of our spiritual health so that we have no need of the divine physician? If this is the case, then we had better each get on our knees and pray. We'd better ask the Holy Spirit to resharpen our consciences, lest we fail to see our total depravity before God and our desperate need for the open heart surgery of the divine physician in our text. For while Jesus will never extinguish even the faintly burning wick of faith, we can extinguish our own faith through unrepentance and Pharisaicism. Brothers and sisters, don't exalt yourselves like Capernaum of old. Look again at the mercy that Jesus offers to outcasts, to sinners, and dogs like you and me. Matthew's call shows that it doesn't matter what we had once thought, said, or done. If Jesus Christ was willing to have mercy upon the outcasts of his society, then he will certainly have mercy on the outcasts of our own society. For Jesus says, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I desire mercy, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." Thus Jesus Christ, the divine physician of body and soul, comes to each one of us with his grace and calls us to follow him. Through his law, the divine physician performs open heart surgery on our dead hearts, and through his gospel, he gives us a heart transplant and rekindles in our hearts the fire of Jesus' love. And yet the merciful work of the divine physician does not end here, for he continues to offer us lifelong rehab for our dead hearts through the means of grace, which he continues today to dispense through his holy church. Matthew's new heart hardly missed a beat before it had produced great fruit. Our text says, "And as Jesus reclined at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples." The merciful call to follow Jesus compelled Matthew to invite his fellow outcasts to hear the good news in his home. In the same way, let us take heed of the inspired example of Matthew. Keep reaching out to your friends, relatives, associates, and neighbors who do not know Christ and the fullness of the truth about him. Keep on sharing your faith through God's word and your upright Christian example. And keep inviting all those around you to the church, where they can hear the good news of mercy for them and for us as well. For our Lord promises, "So shall my word that goes out from my mouth, it shall not return to me empty. It shall accomplish that which I propose, and shall succeed in the things for which I sent it." There are many stories about dogs that became famous for their steadfastness to their masters. Many stories about St. Bernards and German Shepherds immediately come to mind. In Shibuya train station in Tokyo, Japan, there is a statue of a famous dog named Hachiko. He and his master, Mr. Ueno, were inseparable friends. Each day, Hachiko would go with Mr. Ueno, a professor at the Imperial University, go with him to the train station. And then when Professor Ueno would come home, he would be there with his tail wagging, ready to meet Professor Ueno. One fateful day, though, Mr. Ueno took ill at his job, and he suddenly passed away and never returned home on the train. Even though Hachiko was only 2 years old at that time, the bond between him and his master was so strong that he would come every day to the train station for the next 10 years. On March 8, 1935, Hachiko finally died at the very spot he last saw his master. Truth be told, there's a lot we can learn from a dog about discipleship. May we never be too proud to recognize that we are always dogs or beggars before our divine master. May we always follow after our loving master who mercifully calls us to follow him. But above all else, cling to the steadfast mercy that Jesus daily from this pulpit and in the Bible and everywhere else where his word is present offers to you. Mercy for all of your sins, for dogs like you and me. Amen.